This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Ever since George Romero's Night of the Living Dead, zombie flicks have played fast and loose with scientific terminology.
The chimps are infected. They're highly contagious. They've been given an inhibitor.
Infected with what?
Rage.
Danny Boyle's 2002 film 28 Days Later was among the first to insert gritty scientific realism to the frequently campy genre. Recently, popular books like Max Brooks' World War Z and Colson Whitehead's Zone One took serious literary stabs at the realm of the living dead. Actual scientists are following suit and devoting their attention to the fictional study of zombies as well. Bradley Wojtek is cognitive neuroscientist studying memory at the University of California, San Francisco. And he's one of the world's leading experts on zombie brains.
A really good neurologist can, by doing a couple of behavioral tests, deduce exactly what is wrong with a person's brain. And so we basically apply that same kind of principle, but treating the zombie as though it was a patient that had walked into an ER or something like that. And so from that, we're able to deduce a whole cluster of brain regions that would have to be damaged or, you know, differentially active in order to give rise to this classic zombie-like behaviors of, you know, the sort of shuffling walk, insatiable hunger, moaning,
brains.
Lack of fine motor skills.
Oops, dropped brain.
You know, all these kinds of classic zombie symptoms. We basically use this as a tool to teach what normally can be the very boring aspects of neuroscience. Using science fiction, which people find actually interesting, to teach science fact is an extremely good way of engaging public interest in science. You know, you look at something like Star Trek, got people super into space travel, and we're just doing the same thing with zombies.
Of course, real-world biology can be just as bizarre, complex, and potentially inspirational as fictional zombie science. David Hughes is an assistant professor of entomology and biology and a member of the Center for Infectious Disease Dynamics at Penn State. He's been studying an organism in the forests of Thailand that has been mystifying biologists for years, the zombie ant fungus. Word of Mouth producer and zombie voiceover specialist Taylor Quimby spoke with him to find out more.
The zombie ant phenomenon is a really interesting one in nature. We have known about it for about 100 years, or we've known that fungi live on ants and other insects, but only in the last 5 or 6 years have we really delved into the phenomenon. And when we've done that, what we have discovered is a great degree of complexity and specialization. So ants which are out in the forest foraging encounter a fungal spore which attaches to their cuticle. This spore then grows through their cuticle into their body and replicates over a period of days. And at a certain time, the fungus produces compounds which changes the ant's behavior. So the ants leave the nest and they go and die in very special locations in the forest, attached to the underside of leaves. This happens at particular leaves, particular points on the leaf, a particular time of day. So it's a highly specialized manipulation.
And then what happens?
Then the fungus grows an enormously large stalk out of the back of the ant's head, really the stuff of science fiction. And then spores are shot out from this spore body, which infect other ants, and the cycle continues.
Now, recently, you and your team have discovered a parasite that's attacking the zombie fungus that's attacking the ants. Have I got that right?
Yes, that's true. Earlier on, we found that these zombie ant fungi occur in high densities in the forest. That's not surprising because ants themselves occur at high densities in the forest. And the fungi feed upon these, creating large graveyards of dead ants, which are common and easy to find. Most of these zombie ant fungi are not actually a threat to the colony because they have been taken out by another player. This is a hyperparasitic fungus, a fungus which feeds upon the fungus that has killed the ant.
It's hard to imagine how something like this could evolve. It's so specific.
Yeah, this really is an interesting point about biological complexity in rainforest environments. We really don't know why complexity emerges, but one of the ideas suggested by a very prominent scientist back in the 50s, Bozianski, he suggested that the absence of wintertime in the forests causes more and more of these complex interactions to occur. And the reason is that in temperate systems, like in North America, everything shuts down and we have to start anew in the spring. But in tropical rainforests, it's just a never-end dance between different interacting parties. And this leads to some really interesting and phenomenal adaptations.
Do you think the level of specialization you see with the zombie ant fungus legitimizes the possibility of a virus, a plague, or something, you know, something resembling what we see in science fiction?
Well, we do have parasites to control human behavior. We have the very well-known and very famous toxoplasma, which is...
Which you get from cats, correct?
You get from cats, exactly. It's specialized to live in rats, and it causes rats to lose their fear of cats, and therefore is transmitted from the rat to the cat, but it's found in everything from blue whales to humans. And some really excellent work coming out of the Czech Republic has shown that your probability of having a car crash, you're 2.5 times more likely to be in a car crash if you're affected by this parasite, because it upsets a lot of your key functions. So this parasite is the second biggest killer on the planet after malaria. So there's already known examples of human behavior being affected by parasites. But to your directed question, could we find something like this happening? I'm sort of agnostic on that.
That's about the most honest answer I could expect from that kind of question. What do you think about the current cultural fascination with zombies? Why are people so fascinated by the idea of their bodies being taken over?
Oh, this is really fascinating. It's incredibly interesting. I'm the scientific consultant on World War Z, which is the Brad Pitt Paramount movie. On the zombie apocalypse. I can't answer that. Some social theorists have suggested that it's because of a disenchantment people feel with modern societies. In the 1950s, when we discussed zombies, people thought that the reason for zombies was irradiation, so reflective of the Cold War zeitgeist at the time and the fears of an apocalypse due to a nuclear Armageddon. Nowadays, people think about it in terms of infectious diseases. The success of movies like Contagion really brings home the point that we are quite fearful, quite concerned with pandemics. So maybe that's the reason. Maybe we're fearful of that, or we live in some way a disenfranchised society. We don't really interact with people, even though we live in cities of millions of individuals. And so the idea of something taking us over resonates for some reason.
That was David Hughes, assistant professor of entomology and biology and a member of the Center for Infectious Disease Dynamics at Penn State. He was speaking there with Word of Mouth producer Taylor Quimby. There's more on David's research on the zombie ant fungus and on neuroscientist and zombie expert Bradley Wojtek at wordofmouthradio.org.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands to take you in the sun to promised lands, to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love. What's your name? Your daddy.
Who's your daddy? Be rich.
Is he rich like me? Has he taken
any time to show?
To show you what you need to live.
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why.
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Like me, has he taken
any time?